Hi, my name is Harry Etier, and you're listening to The Harry Minute. Follow us wherever you stream your podcast, and be sure to check me out on social media at Harry Etier. That is HARRYITIE. Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of The Harry Minute. My name is Harry Etier and I am super excited about our conversation this week. Today we're speaking to Biodun Wai, a trans woman currently living in Nigeria, a country that can criminalize people based on their perceived sexual orientation and gender identity. Biodun was kind enough to speak with me about our experiences living in Nigeria and our hopes for the future. Please enjoy this conversation. Hi, Biodun. Thank you so much for deciding to do this. I really, really do appreciate it. So the first question that I would like to ask is, when was the time or how did you realize that you were trans?
So right from childhood, I've always felt like I am not a man. I've always felt like I am a woman. So I do a lot of role play with my childhood friends. So I decided to play the role of the auntie or the mother or the wife. So I've always known that I am a woman on the inside, right from childhood.
I feel a lot of conversations with people who are trans, people, they always mention the fact that, you know, they knew when they were younger and when they were kids and all that. So it's very good. I find it very interesting that you're mentioning that right now. What was growing up like, just in general, knowing that you didn't feel connected to the gender you were assigned at birth? How did it make you feel, just in general?
I felt weird, like, because I feel like, okay, I don't belong in this world, because how can I be a woman and I am in a man's body? Like, this is weird, and I can't tell anyone about this, because seeing a very effeminate boy like raises a lot of attention and makes people profile you and say you are gay. Yeah, so I'll say it was really hard, because I had to shrink myself. I had to pretend that I am a man. I had to force myself to wear boys' clothes, even if I would go inside my room and reshape my trousers to make it more skinnier, and my auntie would flog me for doing that. Or maybe I cut my shirt into a crop and they are really going to beat me so bad for that. And yeah, like, it's really made people like say a lot of shit about me and say I am gay and say I am weirdo. And I would say, being a very effeminate boy growing up, I was sexually harassed, and because I could not talk about it. So I would say it wasn't really easy being a very effeminate boy. Yeah.
That is so heartbreaking. I'm really sorry that happened to you. You didn't deserve that. So sorry. At what point did you decide you wanted to start living in the fullness of yourself? At what point did you say, okay, now is the time for me to start, you know, expressing myself in the way that I feel on the inside?
Okay, I decided to be my real self last year, because last year I had a lot of issues with my family, and along the line, they pushed me out. So it wasn't like they pushed me out, but it was obvious that they didn't want me around, because anything they see me as an embarrassment, as a black sheep, you know. So I just couldn't wait for them to say, be able to move out of the house. So I just went away from them. I left the house and I moved to a safe house. So while in the safe house, I just feel like, okay, because in the safe house, I have been there for like a period of 3 months. So I'm like, okay, for this period of 3 months, so I had to think of what to do. So From there, I moved to a new environment and I decided to be there as a woman. So I changed my dresses. I changed the way I want to express myself. I changed my name because I even went to meet my friend because I went to my friend's house. Then I explained everything to him. Then I told him, I don't want you to address me as that name. I want you to address me as the other, and I am a trans woman. Even if he was surprised and he was still trying to like adjust to it. So yeah, I decided to live truly as a trans woman last year. Yeah. So even if it wasn't easy, because people will still see me and say, oh, she's a boy because she doesn't have breasts. Okay, so people get to like check, like look at my chest a lot, like, okay, this person is a boy, he doesn't have breasts. Okay, so which actually made me very vulnerable because people get to like harass me, they were ready to like say all sort of things at me, even throw things at me. So it actually made me like know what to do, like how to express myself better. So I'll say along the line, I get to change environment. Like I keep changing environments. Then I keep like expressing myself. So most times I get left with some fake breasts because my breast hasn't grown enough. So I have to like put it up in order for people to respect me for as a woman.
Did you say that you always have to constantly change locations because of harassments from people who see you in your neighborhood?
Yes, because at first I was living at I don't want to disclose my location, but I was living somewhere before, and I think it was my fault because I got the house as a cisgender man. So I pay for the house as a cisgender man. So everybody now knows me that I am a man. But why living in the house? Like people get to see a whole lot of things. They see my nails. They see my dresses. They see me. Maybe I'm going inside my Uber. I am wearing a dress again. So they get to like harass me because of that. And when the harassment couldn't like. I couldn't stand it, so I had to change my environment. So yes, so because of harassment, I had to change my environment. So I recently moved from where I was staying before to a new environment, which I would say because this is Nigeria, and if you really want to like enjoy and to be free from harassment, you have to get an environment whereby you pay for your security. Okay, so let me just say I got an estate whereby I really get harassed because there's almost nobody roaming about the street. Okay, so I really get harassed these days. Not at all these days. In fact, these days most people believe I am a cisgender woman, which I would say I'm very lucky for that.
I think this is something that a lot of queer people can relate with, just in general. Just having to create security blanket for yourself. Because if you don't, Nigeria will run you streets, for lack of a better word, you know. How you have to be able to be very intentional about where you stay so that, you know, you can protect yourself from harassment. Even though some of these areas do cost a lot of money, that can be a problem in itself. I wanted to just ask about money and getting by and, you know, finding work. How has that process been like for you also?
So basically, like, I can't get jobs because on my certificate they're like male and I am female, so I cannot get jobs. So my certificate is basically useless. So I get most of my incomes from through GoFundMe or sex work, and yes, I think basically those two. Because even if I say, okay, I am a fashion model, if I try to like send Polaroids to agencies and they'll be like, wow, she's beautiful, and at the end of the day, if I tell them that I am a trans woman, they just won't answer me. Yeah, so they just find me unserious. Some even say, oh, so you're a boy. Yeah, so some people are like, okay, you do not fit our requirements for a female model, and we don't do male models either. I mean, that is so fucking transphobic.
Oh my. I would assume that the fashion industry is much more open to people of different sexualities and genders. So that has not been your experience in Nigeria so far?
Yeah, so being a trans woman and a fashion model, I've only worked once for a designer, Olayaya, which I hope it comes out soon. And I got interviewed by Native Magazine. Like, I think that is the only job I've gotten as a trans woman. So ever since then, I haven't gotten any other jobs. And recently, I've been trying to like send Polaroids to agencies to get signed, but no response. And I don't know, maybe it's really because I do not meet the requirements, or maybe because I'm a trans man, but so I don't know what's wrong. well, I'll say I haven't gotten any other jobs apart from the job I had with Bola Yaya. Yeah. Which was in June. I had the photo shoot. Or maybe I haven't met the right modeling agency that will sign a trans woman model in Nigeria.
Do you think there are platforms in Nigeria that support trans models?
I don't think there's any agency in Nigeria that supports trans models, because checking all their models are cisgendered, so I don't think there is. The agency that I know that supports trans models, it is not in Nigeria. It's called Beyond the Chromosomes. And I'll be so happy to get signed right there someday. And I think one of the reasons why we barely have agencies that support trans models is because their customers, people that book these models, they want a cisgender female model to wear their dresses. Yeah. They do not want a trans person to wear their dresses. I don't know. But I think basically that's the reason why most agencies doesn't want to sign a trans model.
This is very true. And I guess this is why we need to support one another. Support our businesses, support our hustles, so that we can hire ourselves to do the work and grow as a community. Yeah. I would like to ask, what is, you've talked about everything. You've talked about your experience growing up. You've talked about what it's like for you living as a trans person in Nigeria, as a trans woman in Nigeria. You've talked about moving to find a much more secure space to live. You've talked about the fact that you currently do sex work and you depend on GoFundMe to be able to get by. What is the ideal situation for Biodun? What would Biodun like, just in general?
Well, I would love to be in a country whereby I do not need to be scared that, okay, people are going to find out that I am not cisgendered, or maybe my landlord is going to throw me out because I am a trans man. Yeah, so I just wish I could be in a country whereby I could be free and be myself, and I do not have to worry that I'm going to be harassed or beaten up or be vulnerable. Yeah. So my plan is to move out of Nigeria and move to a better country where I will be safe. Yeah, so that is basically my plan. And I believe that if I am in such country, like, it won't be hard for me to get jobs, and it's gonna be hard for me to achieve my dreams as a fashion model. So yes, living in Nigeria actually has no future for me as a trans person, because I can't get jobs, I can't do things. I'm basically indoors almost every day. So I feel like if I'm in a better country, then I'll be able to do more things and achieve more goals.
Can you talk about some of the experiences that you had when you were harassed in your former neighborhood? Can you share some of them?
I have a roommate, so whenever I want to get like foodstuffs and all, so whenever I'm going out to get something on the street, so people get like gossip a lot and say, oh, they are boy or they are girl, or you get. So yeah, one of the major harassments happened when my roommate was coming back from where they went to get food from, and one particular guy was following them and dragging their hand and asking them questions if they were a boy or they were a girl, and they didn't answer them, and they were like they should leave them alone, and not for the guys to be speaking in Yoruba and saying it's going to kill them, and it was like saying all sort of bad things in Yoruba, threatening us with death threats. So my roommates couldn't understand it, but I understood everything that they were talking about. So ever since then, anytime I go house, people are always giving me death threats and saying that they're going to kill me, or say that one even said, make una pass here for night, I go rape you, you get. So all sort of things like that, and it gets like ruin our mental health, and we couldn't stand it. And there was even one that happened at we were in the Uber and we're like going home, and the police stopped the Uber driver, and they came checking our bags, and they found some HRC pills, and they concluded that it is an abortion pill, and they drove us to the station, and they were like saying that we are gay. But we just had to call Matthew, and Matthew called the lawyer, and they had to like let us go. So yeah, so we got, so I can't even mention everything, because they're like a whole lot of harassment. And I can't walk past the street without people giving me weird looks or saying shit or calling me names. It just makes me so uncomfortable, like I cannot go out. So me going out is like, okay, I'm ready to face all this again. I have to cover my face, I have to use my mask, I have to wear an hoodie, because I do not want any form of harassment. So it's more like I just have to shrink myself to satisfy these people, because they're going to talk. They're just going to keep talking and calling you names and saying shit at you. Like, they look at me as if I am abnormal. Some people argue about my gender, like, she's a boy, she's a girl. Like, they argue about it. Some even bet in my presence. Like, they bet on it. Like, okay, this person is a man, this person is a woman. So everything is just so horrible.
So sorry. People have talked about how doing sex work can be difficult for women and everything, especially trans women also. Can you just talk about that experience also? What are some of the challenges you face when you're doing sex work?
Okay, talking about sex work, like, I basically, okay, it is not something intentional that I want to do, just that I get rare DMs on my Instagram from people that want to have sex with me, and they're ready to pay. So I get DMs from people that, I'll say people that want to have sex with trans men and are ready to pay for it. So it's not like it's intentional thing. So it's like I get DMs like once in a while. So yeah, so it being at risk, I'll say those people actually, they have fetish for trans women, so they basically just want to have sex with you. And some say they don't want to use protection while they're having sex with you, and some have sex with you in a very horrible way that you don't even want to. So I'll say it's just the normal risk you get from sex work. But sometimes when you're using dating apps and you get like, let me say you're chatting with a straight man, and you tell the straight man that you are trans, like you're a trans man, and they're like, okay, they are fine with it, and when they meet you in person, they just basically want to have oral sex with you because you are a trans man. Like they don't want to see your dick because they feel disgusted by seeing a woman that has a dick, so they just want to use your mouth and use it recklessly. And some won't even pay you. Some will just leave you stranded, and they won't even pay for your Uber. So I'll say it is very risky. But I just have to be like very careful of who I meet and who I have stuff with.
As we wrap this up, what do you want people to take away from this conversation? How do you want them to... What do you want them to know about trans people that maybe the media doesn't show, or that gets lost in conversation? What do you want to leave people with?
I know that it is not easy being trans, but we have to be strong, and we have to use the society, because we live in a very bigoted society, and we have to use the system in our favor. Yes, like we have to try as much as possible to hold power, because I believe in a system like this, once you have the power, you can basically do anything, and you can basically be anywhere. Yes, so yeah, that's what I'm going to say.
Thank you so much for listening to our conversation with Biodun. If you want to help and support, kindly follow Biodun on social media. Biodun is on Twitter at Yemaya Disciple. That is YEMAYADISCIPLE. Yemaya Disciple. The link to her GoFundMe account is also available on her Twitter page in the link section. You can also find her on Instagram at Biodun Ares. That is BIODUNARES. Thank you for listening, and thank you again to Biodun for sharing her journey with us. This is the Harry Minute. Bye for now.